Amen. All right, let's grab our Bibles over in the book of Matthew and the Sermon on the Mount there, chapter 5, the Beatitudes and the attitudes that you and I need. Now, you know, have you ever heard this, you are what you eat? No comments here, but sometimes I think I've eaten too much. Now, I said no comments, all right? Amen. The nutritionists, they say, you know, that there's some importance to scrutinizing your diet, right? You are what you eat. You eat too many sweets and donuts, and you'll be walking around like a pastry, right? Okay? You know what I'm talking about tonight, amen? But what's true for the body is also true for the soul, for your spirit, for your spiritual life. There's a spiritual aspect to this phrase we're going to find here in the Beatitudes that goes along with the physical aspect of it. And for a healthy spiritual diet, we've got to make sure that we're digesting and eating and our appetite is being tailored to a particular thing. So when I allow my mind, my heart, to feed on nutritious soul food. Now, I will say, when I was in Charlotte, down at First Charlotte downtown, there was a restaurant, it served soul food, and it was good, all right? Now, it was good country cooking, you know what I'm saying? I mean, fat back and everything. Y'all know what I'm talking about, that good soul food, all right? Now, but there's good soul food spiritually for us, amen? Really good soul food. And that's what we need. When I don't digest, when I'm not eating the right diet spiritually, it negatively affects me. What my mind feeds on and feasts on, it has a way of bringing those ideas back up at the wrong time. And the devil, man, he will beat you up with that too. Why are you watching that? Why did that come up again? Why are you filling your mind with that? Why are you filling your heart with that? Oh, I'm sure that really pleases the Lord. And you can walk around defeated. In fact, what's fascinating is you find this both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. God would get on his people because of their diet, what they were eating, what they were drinking. And Jeremiah had to speak to a culture. Listen, God's people totally reversed the moral order of their society. Isaiah spoke about it as well as he confronted it. But they thought they were worshiping God and that they were near him. But he said, listen, actually, your hearts are far from me. And he said to them, has a nation changed its gods, which are not for what are not gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be astonished, O heavens, at this. Be horribly afraid. Be very desolate. Why? Because my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Cisterns are like a well, right? It's a way to hold water. And those cisterns, they weren't a well that were providing the water. They were the way that they stored their water, especially in the heat there of the Middle East. I mean, you can imagine. And God said, listen, I'm the source. I'm the fountain of living waters that they need. And they've done two things. They've turned away from me, which would actually nourish them. And they've hewn for themselves these cisterns to hold the water. The thing is, they're broken. Now, if you know anything about a broken cistern, you know what it won't do? Hold water. And so he says, Jeremiah, look at what they've done. In fact, it's fascinating over in the book of Isaiah. An invitation is given. Listen, hey, yo, anybody thirsty? Anybody want to quench their thirst, find satisfaction? Come buy from me. And the invitation is, listen, come and buy without money. Like it's free, a free offer. That's our God. Freely offering this, like we don't deserve it, right? And he says, here it is. Come to me, you who have no money, you who thirst, and I'll satisfy you. You know, Jesus said the same thing to the church over in Laodicea. They thought they were rich and wealthy. They thought they were clothed in fine garments. They thought they could see. And the amazing thing is Jesus said, you know what, here's a sad thing. Because you have turned your back on me, you're actually poor, blind, and naked. Why? Because they didn't have the right appetites, the right diets. And so, you know, this may be us tonight. It may be someone we know. It may be somewhere where we once were. Listen, your soul is hungry. It's thirsty. Do you understand? Listen, our culture knows that. That's why they call it, we crave things, right? And we have a consumer mentality. We consume stuff, right? And our consumption is like, and we want more and more and more, and it just never satisfies. And so we've got broken cisterns because we've left that which will truly satisfy us, and we're trying to find satisfaction in the things, and it doesn't hold water. It just doesn't satisfy. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, listen, if I find within myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, it probably means that I and you, we were made for another world. Augustine would say it this way, there's a hole within us that only God can fill. But we will try to fill it with all kinds of other things. And so when Jesus gives this beatitude, this fourth beatitude, he's addressing our spiritual appetites and the realization that we need to learn only God can really satisfy them. Now, this is critical for our Christian walk, because if I don't recognize how to satisfy my hunger, I will probably go walking down paths, down side streets to try to find, you know, some vendor who'll give me what I want. And God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to go in the paths of righteousness to find satisfaction for those appetites that we're hungering and thirsting for. So, you know, the menu's before us. You got to choose on the menu. The world's got a menu. God's got a menu. And you're just going to have to choose. Can I just confess? It's a daily challenge. All right? You've never arrived. Until we reach heaven, we're just, and that's why, you know, that's why manna was every morning, right? He just faithfully supplies it. Faithfully supplies it. Well, notice this. This is what a healthy hunger looks like. Listen to what he says. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, my boys, raising six boys, I'll tell you, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. They are always hungering and thirsting, okay? Feeding them boys, okay? Notice, we don't want to leave off the last part now. You got to hunger and thirst for the right thing, for righteousness. Now, listen, here's the amazing thing. Do you realize God designed you and me to realize this each and every day? I need something outside of me to satisfy me on the inside. That's why we eat. We have meals. And it's a picture, actually, of the gospel and our need to eat the heavenly manna, to eat the bread of life, Christ, to drink of his waters, because he's the fountain of living water. And daily we're demonstrating that physically. I need food. I need something to give me fuel for the day, to keep me going, and to make my belly go, that's good. I want an extra helping. But it's a picture that we actually need Christ and we need the gospel. And that's why he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst to find satisfaction in the right thing, and that is righteousness. Now, what is this righteousness? Because this isn't, of course, we can't say this is the righteousness that makes us right with God. Because if we go back to when we started, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn over their sinfulness, right? I mean, when you realize you're broken, you realize you're not right. But I can hunger and thirst for things to be made right. Amen? I can hunger and thirst because I realize it is broken and only God can fix it. And man, I really want him to fix it. I'm tired of going through life and not finding satisfaction. And the world will offer it, but it can't really provide it. I want to hunger and I want to have a passionate desire and increasing sense that, you know what, God, only you will satisfy. And you see the amazing thing, it's kind of like a paradox. It's amazing. This desperate hunger that we're supposed to have, that is blessed when we hunger, when we thirst, when we have this longing for it, the moment you think you've got it, praise the Lord, you're like, yes. And then you realize, wait, but there's more. There's more. Because this righteousness is related to the God who is infinite, and he wants us craving him, desiring him. above all the things that this world wants to offer you and offer me. And so we should be looking in our hearts and stirring this continual hungering, intensifying it. Lord, I want those. Yeah, there's a psalm that I believe we're going to be reading here soon in Sunday school. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for thee, right? You know that Deer Park water, you always see it, right? I always think of that psalm when I see that the deer that's panting for water. And psalmist says, you know, when that deer is going and trying to find a stream, a little babbling brook to get some, to quench its thirst, that's what my soul should look like with God. That's something, listen, the world, the devil does not want us to do that, y'all. He does not want you to wake up every morning and say, God, I need you. God, I need you today. God, only you can satisfy me. And see, we've got a materialistic, hedonistic culture, narcissistic culture that is not just influencing our lives, man, it's influenced the church, right? We're consumers, even within the church, and we're coming sometimes and we're craving the wrong things, even in worship. When you and I come in the doors, our hunger should be, God, I want the Lord. God, I want you to feed my soul. I want you to feed me with this word. There's a famine in my heart and a hunger in my heart. And so, Lord, feed me. And that's how you pray for your pastor, by the way, and those that teach your Sunday school class. Like, Lord, give them something to feed my soul. And then open my eyes, even when I read your word, to fill in my hunger within me. Jesus says we should be hungering and thirsting in this way. Because as you and I do this, we're going to, the menu, what we're after, what we're desperate for is righteousness. Now, this is a really fascinating word, right? Righteousness. What does that mean? That there should be within us this hunger, this desire for things to be right. But who defines what's right? Now, this is really important because you can say, even in our culture, we got people that, man, they're all about justice. They're social justice warriors, right? And they want things made right. Well, God does too, and I do too. But God's the one that has to define what's right, not mankind. Amen? So you have to make sure that the righteousness that we're pursuing and hungering after and desiring and longing for is being right in God's eyes. That means I want to be right in my life with Him. I want to be right in my relationship with my sweet bride. I want to be right in my relationship with my boys and my baby girl. I want to be right in relationships with others made in the image of God. The way I treat them, they want to do the right thing, even if it costs me. I want to do the right thing at all costs. And so this concern, listen, this is doing the Word of God. This is living it out, fleshing it out. And I want to see that, and I want to have a hunger for that. Now, this is the, you know, again, the paradox is as you get it, as you reach for it, you get satisfied for a moment, then you realize, no, there's more, there's more, there's more. And you want to continue to grow and discover, and it's just a spiritual cycle. It's a healthy thing, actually, to be stirring that within you, stirring that within me. Now, listen, here's the amazing thing. If we hunger and thirst for righteousness, here's the good news. We have a shepherd that guides us in paths of what? Righteousness. Yeah, if we'll just follow him, he'll show us right paths. He'll feed us right things. He'll get green grass and still waters. He'll help satisfy that hunger within us. And so the scriptures say this, you know, over and over again. I mean, Jesus himself said, listen, you know, whoever drinks the water I give him will what? Never thirst again. That water's going to be a fountain within him that just bubbles out, spills into other people's lives. See, this is a healthy thing. Stop and think about this for a moment. When you find satisfaction, can I tell you, it may not just be for you. It may be for you to share with someone else and say, man, let me tell you how God's been good to me, how he satisfied this hunger. You might want to taste and see for yourself. Oh, wait, that's in the Psalms, isn't it? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Jesus said this, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. Why? Because Jesus satisfies the hungry soul. Now, I've got to be coming to his table. I got to come to him, right? I mean, I know this. Listen, I have developed some appetites for some things like banana pudding. Like I can, you know, sweet savor. I can quickly tell you, you know, how it was made. And, you know, and I like deviled eggs too. Not devilish eggs, but deviled eggs too. You know, but they got to have Duke's mayonnaise made to make that. Okay. If you don't, man, someone tried that on me this weekend. I was like, please don't do that. All right. They asked if I liked it or not. I was honest. But we develop that appetite for things. And you have to be careful. You have to scrutinize your appetites. This is a healthy exercise to do. Am I hungering and thirsting for right things as God defines it? You know, it's a healthy exercise. You know what I do physically? Now, don't say anything. Miss April's out, and I hear she's out of town for a couple days. Don't say anything. You know, I know I got to lose some weight because I've been eating. You know, when she goes out of town, you got to feed yourself. Right? And so you got to watch that. I've got to scrutinize my appetites, make sure that I'm hungering for the right things. Now, here's the amazing thing. Look at what he says. If your attitude will be, I want to hunger, I want to thirst for the right things. God, give me a hunger, a desire to find the right things as you define them. Notice this is what it says. They shall be filled. Praise the Lord. You'll find fulfillment. You'll find satisfaction. This is what God, do you think God invites us to his table to not find satisfaction? Do you realize, listen, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. I am, come to me. I'm the living water. I'll give you living water. And when you hunger, when you thirst for what he offers, and then we practice this when we come to this table like we did 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago. When we came to this table, there was something to eat and something to drink, and it was a picture, right? And it was a reminder for us wherever we found satisfaction. Christ. Because he's made me right with God. Because I couldn't make myself right with God. And I'm not going to find satisfaction at any other tables. Paul would say in that letter where we read frequently from 1 Corinthians about, you know, I'm only giving to you that which I received in the night in which he was betrayed. He took bread, broke it, right, gave thanks. In a chapter, two chapters before that, it says, you know what? You can't eat at this table and eat at the table of the demons. You got to choose. You got to make a choice. Where do you want to find your satisfaction? The invitation is to come to this one. And see, this one is a picture of one up there. Have you read Revelation 19? Yo, y'all, there's a marriage supper of the Lamb. Supper. He's standing at the door, church, and knocking. If anyone opens the door, because he's not going to force himself in, if anyone will open that door of their heart and let me in, I will come in and do what with them? Sup. Now, that's not slang, all right, in this day and age, right? Well, sup. No, sup with them, supper, right? That's where we get our word supper. I'll eat with them. And here's the thing, he's got a feast for us to find satisfaction. But he won't force anybody. And see, daily I have to find myself, Lord, come, feed me. Feed my soul. Feed me. I'm hungering. I'm thirsting. And so the tragedy in the church is the world has crept in so much that we've forgotten that Jesus is providing us not only with this menu, he'll stir the appetite within you. The world knows we're ravenous, right? We will feast. It's like I'm always reminded of the buffets, right? The endless buffets, like all you can eat, right? In the day, it was Golden Corral. You remember those days? Yeah. And nothing like a Chinese buffet, right? And, well, I don't know. It's no story. But all those buffets, like, that's what the world wants you to see. And it's like the picture. But you know what? God also wants us to see that's not how we need to feed our souls. No. We need to really stop and think, how do I examine my appetite? Now notice how this progression begins, okay? Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's true poverty. There's nothing within me to commend myself to God. I'm broke. I got nothing. I'm hungry. I got nothing to buy with. I'm mourning over my sinfulness. I see my sinfulness. I see the sin of the broken in the world around. I see all the unrighteousness in the world that needs to be made right. I'm meek. I'm humble. I realize that, you know what, with a gentleness in that spirit, God will truly make me an heir of the earth, of that which is one day going to be under his kingdom. But now, here's the logic now. I need desperately just a hunger and thirst for righteousness. This is, I think, where one of the ways we can grow the most. And here's the amazing thing. He's waiting. One of my favorite passages is from Isaiah. In fact, I'll never forget, it's been 13 years ago, I think it was, Isaiah 55. I just preached on that chapter for about 5-7 weeks, I think it was. And I just love this invitation. It's in the Old Testament, but it's so real for us today. Ho, everyone, I circled it in my Bible, who thirsts. So it's not limited, right? Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. A free offer. The things that will truly satisfy you, you know, that's what water quenches that thirst, and milk nourishes you. Wine is for merriment. These things God offers, true joy, true satisfaction, true health, vitality. And then the question is right after that. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for that which does not satisfy? You see, God's saying this. He's saying that to his people. I think sometimes he might be saying that to the church as well. Then he closes. He goes on to this. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And that's the invitation, right? Every day. Every day. And so may the Lord help us to scrutinize our appetites, those things we're hungering and thirsting for. You know, if he removes them, praise God. That's what we want, is if they're worldly things. Replace them, though, with spiritual things. And the way you do that is just like as I cultivated that excellent appetite and desire for the delicacy called banana pudding. It's just you find something really good and you enjoy it and you savor it. Now, you don't eat too much all at one time, right? But you cultivate those taste buds over time. And it's the same way spiritually. And so that's our prayer tonight. God, help us to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Listen, in the morning, God, today I want to do the right thing at work. I want to do the right thing to my family. I want to do the right thing to my spouse. I want to do the right thing with my children. God, help me to do the right thing today as you define it in your word. Just one step at a time each day. And he'll cultivate that hunger within it. Let's pray for that tonight. Father, give us this attitude. It's a blessed attitude. Lord, to hunger and thirst for the right things as you define them. God, forgive us, Lord. We all stand in need of your mercy. Oh, I'm so grateful it's new every morning. And God, when we do crave the wrong, will you take that appetite away? Will you take those desire for things that don't please you, that aren't really of you? Lord, would you just take it away? I'm thankful for, Lord, how you've done that in my life several times. And so, Lord, I just pray, continue, help me to scrutinize my appetites. And Lord, help us to Lord, find satisfaction, and then share with others, Lord, when we do, because you've been good to us. We love you, we praise you, and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.